And as we've been discussing, the Treasurer, Joe Hockey, released the fourth intergenerational report yesterday. And as he launched that report, the Treasurer spoke enthusiastically about the potential of a booming ageing workforce.
It may well be the case that people are coming back into the workforce at the age of 80. I mean, I stood with a man that's 83 and still working 5 days a week at Bunnings. One fourth of the workforce at Bunnings is over the age of 50. And that's fantastic. So if people want to, we've got to get the balance right, but people might want to contribute for longer to their superannuation. They might want to draw down their superannuation at various points where they have career changes. There may well be a change to the age pension system that is actually responding to the changing demographics.
That's the Treasurer yesterday as he released his report. The prospect of still working at 83 might not sound appealing to some of you, but I'm sure others, I just heard from Bob Carr, love the idea. The recently appointed CEO of the Benevolent Society, Joe Tuohy, says this intergenerational report offers an opportunity really to celebrate our ageing population. Joe Tuohy, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Thanks, Brian.
Contrary to some of the negative response to the report, and some of it has been negative, we're all getting older, there'll be no money to pay for our old age, what are we going to do? You're inviting us to see the significant contribution that older Australians make to really celebrate getting old.
That's right, Fran. I mean, I think it's important to note that, I think that the intergenerational report actually gives us an opportunity to have some conversations around the contribution that older people actually make. So when you look at our older population currently, you know, over 25% of older people actually contribute to volunteer work once they retire. We also have, around, I think it is 40% of older people actually are primary carers, and many of those people are caring for people with a disability. And, we can't forget the significant contribution that grandparents make in terms of childcare.
Of course, and I think no one disputes that, those older people have a lot of value in the society, but at the same time, it is tough ageing. If you want to stay in the workforce, in this society we live in, there is an age barrier that people say kicks in about 50, and we've heard, numerous interviews of people who have put in hundreds of applications with their age on it, and they just don't get a look in. So this is a mindset we need to change. The Treasurer says he wants to kickstart that conversation. Now, I reckon I've heard Treasurers say that pretty much pretty regularly for the last 20 years, and nothing's changed. The Bunnings example is a good one, but is this key to really the success of a nation, of us dealing with this changing demographic pattern, to deal with the mindset of employers?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it also requires a response both at a federal and state level. So, I mean, it's interesting to note that Susan Ryan did a paper in 2012 where she looked at some of the barriers to actually employing an older workforce. And so while, for example, the Commonwealth Government has a program called the Restart Program, which is around giving financial compensation to employers who employ an older person in the workforce. But some of the other barriers that exist, certainly around age discrimination. And, from personal experience, I know my own mother, who's 70 years old, would love to be back in the workforce, but I know that she certainly experiences, that anxiety around how she's going to be viewed as an older person who has a lot to contribute. But when you look at things like workers' compensation insurance, for example, income protection insurance, many of those factors also have age caps on them that currently sit at 65.
Yeah, so we've got to get rid of all of that. We've got to change our thinking, and we heard the Treasurer today say that, really. The expectations currently are, you study when you're young, you have children in your early middle years, you retire when you're old. We have to reshape that pattern, which is easy to say, harder to do. We've got to look at all those kind of roadblocks you've just identified. But we've also got to look at changing policies that will make it possible for people to retrain, get access to education, to remain sort of fit and well intellectually and physically. You've got some ideas about this.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, I think, it's interesting when you look at the projections of older people over the next 40 years, and then you look at our increase in health spend, for example, and then compare that to what we also spend in the aged care sector around, sort of maintaining people towards end of life. The shifts in the aged care reforms over the last, probably over the last 10 years, which have seen an increase in focus on keeping older people as independent as they possibly can be at home, have gone a long way in starting to shift the way we actually view older people as they move towards that end of their life. But what we also need is a reshift in focus towards healthy ageing and well-being. And that focus actually needs to start now, and it needs to not just necessarily start around older people, it's also around the generations we're talking about that are going to be 65 in the next 40 years, which is younger people as well. So if you look at where the majority of our health dollars actually go, they often, go across most states in terms of managing chronic health conditions. And even in the aged care funding pool, for example, we tend to focus on older people when they get to a particular stage of their life, rather than actually investing in actually having programs in place that actually support older people to be well from around the age of 50 to 55.
Like what sort of programs? I know you've talked about reablement centres, and we've talked before in the past about gyms for older people. Tell us about some of these ideas that are happening.
Yeah, that's right. So in my previous role with another organisation, for example, we set up what was called Centres for Healthy Ageing. And those Centres for Healthy Ageing had a focus on actually maintaining or improving an older person's well-being, particularly in terms of mobility. So they were gym-like environments that were staffed with our physios and exercise physiologists. People would often come to them following a critical sort of incident such as a fracture or those sorts of things. But what was also interesting to note is that a lot of the people that were also attending those centres were people who had up to the age of around sort of 55 had already been participating in gyms on a regular basis, but were finding that normal gym-like environment not necessarily to their liking anymore. And one of the things they liked about the Centre for Healthy Ageing was that what they were doing then was actually focusing on how they could actually maintain or improve their level of fitness, particularly around strength, to actually prevent them actually having issues later in life.
Yeah, these are big issues. And just briefly, we've only got an hour to the clock to the news, but we do need to get the economic settings right too, because mm-hmm. the statistics for older people living on the pension, living alone, not owning their own home, 47% of those live in poverty.
That's right. That's right. And I think that's the important discussion to have. I mean, when we talk about the review that's required, certainly around income in terms of retirement, there is certainly work that needs to be done both in the aged care pension and in superannuation. But we also need to recognise, that around 47% of older people receive the full pension and are actually living in poverty. And I think that's an important conversation that we need to have.
Joe, thank you very much for joining us.
No problem at all. Thanks, Fran.
Joe Toohey is the CEO of the Benevolent Society, not the Benevolent Fund, as I said earlier, the Benevolent Society that did great work.